This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Yesterday afternoon, the news broke that Olivia Newton-John passed away at age 73 at her ranch in Southern California. While cause of death was not officially stated, the singer and actress had battled cancer on and off for three decades. For those of us of a certain vintage, few stars were shinier than Olivia Newton-John. From her solo chart-topping hits to her star-making turn in the blockbuster musical Grease, she was a dominant force in pop music and film in the 70s and 80s. Social media yesterday was filled with remembrances, including from her Grease co-star John Travolta, who said she made life so much better, and this lovely tweet from her friend Peter Frampton. One of the most genuinely beautiful souls has left us. Olivia Newton-John was an amazing artist in every way. She was a dear friend to me and to all. Olivia is the definition of the phrase, down to earth. To talk a bit about her legacy as a performer, NPR's music, Ann Powers is here with us today. Ann, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Thanks. Great to see you, too.
How did Olivia Newton-John get her start?
Well, in the U.S., it's very interesting, Allison. Her first hit was a cover of a Bob Dylan song, believe it or not, If Not For You. I mean, here's this Australian singer, actually English-born, Australian-raised, made it to the U.S., and like many women singers, actually, at the turn of the 60s into the 70s, was covering Bob Dylan. So that was her very first kind of impact in the U.S. Then she became a country star and had a very interesting relationship with Nashville with her first few hits. Her first really big hit was Let Me Be There in 1973, which is like fantastic country song. Sounds kind of like a Tanya Tucker song or something.
So when was her sort of breakout? What do you think was her breakout role into really mainstream popular culture?
Well, you know what I'm going to say. I mean, she had massive hits. She had the country run of several hits, and then she became kind of, in my mind, like the queen of soft rock. Some today call it yacht rock. I just want to say, I feel the history of yacht rock or soft rock has mostly been written by men, even playfully. So sometimes Olivia is left out as one of the titans of that kind of adult contemporary music. So songs like Have You Never Been Mellow? I mean, I don't know about you, but that song defined my childhood in some ways.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of it. This is Olivia Newton-John.
There was a time when I was in a hurry as you are. I was like you. There was a day when I just had to tell my point of view. I was like you.
I'm in a country Ford Squire station wagon. It's summer. I've got a Tab, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. I have an entire refrigerator full of Tab. Allison, it's interesting. I was thinking about why Olivia Newton-John had so much power with these songs, these soft rock songs. Mm. And I really think it was the incredible vocal control she had, singing very intimately. Like, to me, the mark of a great singer sometimes is that they can, you know, hit the rafters. But another mark of a great singer is that they can make you feel like they're murmuring into your ear. And songs like Have You Never Been Mellow or her fantastic country hit, Please, Mr. Please, Don't Play B-17. It's so intimate, you know? I mean, you feel like you are learning a secret. And I think that was her power in the 70s and the early part of her career.
My guest is Ann Powers from NPR Music. We are discussing the legacy of Olivia Newton-John, who passed away yesterday at age of 73. We've come to the moment when we have to talk about Grease. So she's been cast in Grease opposite John Travolta. Anybody who doesn't know the story, you have Sandy, this kind of square girl, turns into a leather jacket wearing, cigarette smoking, cool girl, and spandex pants, spawned a million Halloween costumes, clearly, and high school musicals. We'll play a little bit of soundtrack, but how did that performance really infect or influence pop culture? And this is an overused word, but it is an iconic look, that Sandy look.
Both of them, right? Both mm-hmm. Sandy good, Sandy bad, Sandy bright, Sandy dark, however you want to put it. It was interesting. You mentioned John Travolta's tribute to Olivia. And one thing he said was that other women, great women singers like Linda Ronstadt, were being considered for that part. But he said, who is the woman that every man wants and every woman wants to be? Now, honestly, I wanted to be Rizzo. I wanted to be Sucker Channing. I thought she was much cooler. But it is, you know, Olivia had that wholesome and just sunshine appeal that made her kind of, she was the embodiment of a certain ideal. And also, though, she had a little bit of a twist in her affect that made it seem like while she was the girl next door, the white girl next door to an imagined fantasy idea of what that is, right? She also seemed to be kind of almost not making fun of herself, but like, I don't know, like she had that earthy quality of yes, I am the perfect Doris Day of the 70s and the 80s, but I also am laughing at this. And I think that's in Sandy from the beginning. From the beginning of the film, she is both exactly what she seems to be and something else. And then that final scene when, you know, the camera turns to this view of her in black leather with her hair high, and yeah, and then that is the moment where the real Sandy comes out, and she pulled it off incredibly.
Let's take a listen.
Sandy,
tell me about it, Stern.
The entire control room is dancing. I'm dancing. Two things about that and I want to share. One is when I went to college in the 80s, they would play Grease in the middle of finals on the green just as a release for everybody. And everybody, even who everybody thought they were too cool for school, knew all the words.
Oh, completely.
And I also thought, you know, for a message that most young feminist girls would think is horrible, like change to get the guy, there was something about the twist at the end that she did that you're like, oh, wait a minute. There's something about this that I'm okay with.
No, totally. It's, if you think about the time when Grease came out, it was just at the moment when punk was sort of, you know, emerging. And there was this very strong element in punk that was like a rereading of the 50s, right? So you had on the one hand Happy Days, but then on the other hand, you had a band like Blondie who was like doing girl group sounds and 50s style, 60s style music, but also inhabiting it in a different way. And I think you can view her Olivia Newton-John's performance in Grease as a similar kind of laying claim to a character that had been so vacuous and giving it a different kind of power.
How did that role shape the rest of her musical career, or at least the few years afterward?
Yeah, it's. I think Sandy's transformation in Grease opened a door for Olivia Newton-John. And she had been, a word that's often associated with her, although it is somewhat preposterous, is virginal. I mean, she's making these soft rock hits that are very sexy. I think Have You Never Been Mellow is a kind of invitation, if you know what I mean, just some afternoon delight. But after Sandy's transformation, Olivia Newton-John felt she could go a little harder in her music, and she entered into a new phase, and ended up kind of at the crossroads of disco and synth pop with Xanadu, the movie that is now a cult favorite, a roller disco movie, and Magic, her great synth pop song, and also Physical, her absolute smash that really defines the early mid 80s in so many ways.
In so many ways. And I think the video as well really was a nod to how much she actually understood what she was doing.
Yes, so true. Absolutely. I mean, the sexuality that Olivia Newton-John projected was very relatable, you know, even though she had been a child performer and was a consummate performer, you know, and it's not like she was a scruffy haired rocker in any way, but the way that she danced, the way that she presented herself, that of course that energy, that sunshine transformed in a song like Physical, and became a new kind of power, but that was still very relatable, I think, for women. And maybe for men, some men
as well. You know, before we wrap up, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but I wanted to make sure we acknowledged it. Right as we went to air, the news broke that Lamont Dozier of Dozier Holland passed away at age 81. And I just wanted to take a minute for you to talk to a little bit about his important contribution.
Well, yes, It's a strange coincidence that Olivia Newton-John passed, and my social media feeds were full of tributes to her. And then as I was nodding off to sleep last night, the news that Lamont Dozier had passed and a whole different set of tributes emerged. Lamont Dozier, part of the team Holland Dozier Holland that penned the greatest Motown hits, Stop in the Name of Love, so many other ones. And I think there's something interesting, Allison, that one of the greatest songwriters, and especially for girl groups, the Motown sound, passed away on the same day that one of the greatest song interpreters of the 70s, who kind of picked up that girl group mantle, you know. That just is a coincidence, but you have the behind the, it talks about how pop music worked in the rock era, rock and soul era. We had these titans of songwriting and production. We had these incredible interpreters, and together they made the soundtrack of our lives. So that's my little bit of a Jenga relating Olivia Newton-John's passing and Lamont Dozier's passing.
Well done. A lovely dovetail. Ann Powers is with NPR Music and a terrific writer in her own right. Ann, nice to see you again.
Wonderful to see you. Thank you.
Let's go out on Olivia Newton-John Physical.